of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guest news and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. It's all about outdoor recreation, getting out in God's beautiful creation. I don't know about you, but it does my soul well every time I do. And don't we live in a beautiful area? There are so many wonderful opportunities to get out there and enjoy hiking, camping, mountain biking, kayaking, golfing, snow skiing, water skiing, boating, fishing, horseback riding, motorcycle riding, hunting, and the list goes on of the things we get to enjoy. This evening, I'm excited to talk with Kirk Portocarrero. Am I saying that correct?
You got it.
Okay. All right. And we'll get to you in a little bit, Kirk, but let me just tell you, he's a premier fishing and hunting guide in the North State area, and he's been doing it for a number of years. And maybe, just maybe, we can pick up some tips and tricks from him this evening. We'll see what I might be able to drag out of him. But what beautiful weather we've had the past few days, haven't we? I was able to actually get out there and do a little hiking the past couple days. Yesterday, I endeavored to hike the Kanaka Peak Trail below Whiskeytown Dam. I've never hiked it before, and honestly, I had heard about it, and I didn't do a lot of research before going there, and I wound up on some other trail. And I wasn't disappointed. I still enjoyed my hike, but I do want to say that there are lots of fallen trees out there, and the creeks are full right now, the melting snow and the recent rain that we've had. So be prepared if you venture out and about. A couple days ago, I made my way out toward Waters Gulch Loop Trail near Packers Bay Boat Ramp on Shasta Lake, and it was a beautiful hike. And the trail is in great condition. Again, the streams and tributaries were all flowing with small seasonal waterfalls making their appearance, and I got to see some deer and other wildlife, including a hummingbird. A hummingbird out there. I thought they just hung around hummingbird feeders around grandma's house or something like that. That was sort of my thinking. But I actually have a group hike scheduled tomorrow morning at Water Gulch Trail, and I'll be giving you more information about that later in the program. Let me ask you something. Do you believe in Bigfoot? I'm actually a believer. Well, at least I want to believe. I really do want to believe. And maybe I'll ask Kirk a little later if he's ever seen Bigfoot and all of his adventures. Well, not the most social of individuals, Bigfoot knows how to have fun on the trails. In addition to wielding his mountain bike on awesome trails in our region, Bigfoot was spotted in late January riding a gravel bike on Fender Ferry Road, and a few days later, trail jogging up the Papoose Trail in Whiskeytown. Obviously, he is challenging you to expand your outdoor trail and gravel road adventures. And, of course, I'm just reading the paragraph from Bigfoot Outdoor Adventures, and that is coming up really soon. And we're going to let you know more about that. I've got in the studio with me tonight Brian Crane. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. Super excited.
All right, Brian. So the Bigfoot Adventure Challenge. What is this all about?
Well, this thing started back in, 2017 when Brent Weaver was our mayor, and he wanted to put a spotlight on mountain biking. So he got together with me and a few others, and we came up with the idea of a challenge. The challenge is over 2 months, April 1st through May 31st, we have a passport with 22 different rides, beginner, intermediate, and advanced rides, all different levels, and you check three boxes, and you win some super cool socks. You check them all, you win a hat. And the idea is, at the time, in 2017, let's get people out on the mountain bike and enjoy our local trails. We've grown since then. We've gone to Weaverville, Mount Shasta. We've got some stuff down in Red Bluff. And we've grown beyond mountain biking to include gravel riding, which is a sister to mountain biking, a lot of similarities. Right. And more importantly, we've added trail running. You got shoes, get out there and walk, run our trails. And we have a passport there, too. So we've got three different passports, three different opportunities to have some mapped and truly mapped on, in several different forms, trails that you can go out and check boxes and win socks and hang out with your friends and hang out with the outdoors and maybe spot Bigfoot.
Maybe spot Bigfoot. So you've got the mountain bike challenge, you've got the gravel bike challenge, the trail running challenge, and then there's also a Bigfoot Junior Adventure Challenge, right?
Absolutely. We obviously the future of everything we do around here is with our kids, and so getting them outside, away from their computers and things like that, on our trails is awesome. So we have a junior passport also with about 20 different trailheads that they can go to, and they can experience it any way they want. It's not a map thing. Get out there for 5-10 minutes, skip a rock, pick a flower, ride their bike, whatever. Check the box, and they'll win some cool socks too.
Awesome. And they can pound a couple sticks. Maybe they'll get a response from Bigfoot. Hey. At least that's what I've seen, you know. You knock some sticks together or something like that.
Hey, he's out there.
Yeah, he is out there for sure. And then there's also what's called the blackout. What is the blackout?
The blackout is just like in bingo. If you black out your passport, you check every box, you win a cool hat and get some local recognition. And that's quite an accomplishment. Over the 2 months, for instance, mountain biking, that's 22 rides in about 250 miles. And these are single track miles of trail. Wow. So to do that over 2 months is a pretty good thing. But quite frankly, with the addition of gravel and trail running, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a few people that black out all three passports over those 2 months.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Whoever blacks that out first, let me know. I'd like to get them on here.
For sure.
Maybe we can talk with them a little bit. And so there's a blackout for each of the challenges?
For each of the challenges.
Okay,
correct.
Good. I was getting tired just thinking, man, if you had to black out all of the challenges, that would be quite a feat right there for sure. How are people going to be able to register for this, find out more information?
Yeah, we have a website, BigfootAdventureChallenge.com, so you can go there and it has all the information you need.
Okay.
We have an email address. You can send me an email at BigfootAdventureChallenge@gmail.com. Have any questions, I can provide those to you too. We're getting out there, putting posters out there and things like that. The outreach is, and we have social media too. We have an Instagram site. Reading Trail Alliance is a big sponsor. The two big outfits that really do the bulk of the carrying in this is the Reading Trail Alliance and City of Reading Rec. So you can, through those means too, Reading Trail Alliance website or their Instagram site, you'll find out more information also, as well as City of Reading Rec.
Nice.
So
now one of the questions I have about this is the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, a lot of fallen trees out there. Is someone going out and helping to clear the trails ahead of time for all of this?
You know, one beauty of this challenge is it's not just those two outfits. We've got great partnerships with BLM, Whiskeytown National Recreation Area, Forest Service, and others, and they're all really supportive. So they're out there clearing their own trails. And that happens continuously. The Reading Trail Alliance has a website. If you see a tree down out there, you can pop in and let them know about it, and someone will get out and take care of it. But as you know, part of hiking, part of biking these trails and some of the gravel roads out there is every once in a while you got to crawl over or crawl under a tree. So that's part of the game.
Right. But if you're good enough on your mountain bike,
yeah,
you just bounce over that baby, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you do, Brian?
We try to, yeah. And sometimes that works, most times not.
The trail I was on yesterday, I had the All Trails map. I finally got it out. I got to a place where I could see it. And it was like, oh, well, there's another trail. I can connect to that, and it'll be a shorter hike back. But the further along I went, the more trees were on the trail. The brush was getting more and more overgrown. And I finally decided just to turn around and backtrack and get all the way back there. But kudos to all the people that go out there and help clear these trails. And a lot of volunteer work going on, and I'm very grateful for that. This time of year, is when you're going to find that debris on the trails because of recent snow and rains and things along that line. And so, again, the website, Brian, is what now?
BigfootAdventureChallenge.com.
.com. And is there a cost for this?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, we have very good sponsors. Redding Electric Utility, McConnell Foundation, and Shasta Bike Depot are three of our sponsors. Our big one is Cornerstone Bank, though. Cornerstone Bank has stepped up and put a lot of money in that we have some clinics that are being offered also for a half price. So if you're a little nervous about getting out there and I don't have quite the skills, but I want to learn, we have that on our website, information on our website about that, too.
And talk a little bit about the maps, the availability of the maps, how people might be able to get those.
Yeah, there's from our website, we have one of the pull-down menus is routes, and you'll be able to go on that routes and see all the different rides that we have. See the passport, but also see all the routes. And for each of the routes we have what's a popular program in mountain biking. It's called Strava. So we have a Strava route mapped. We have a Trail Forks mapped also, which Trail Forks is another popular forum. And then we actually have a paper map you can download with a Google map to the trailhead and everything. So all three of those, you should find the one that works for you.
Right. That's amazing. And you have been doing this. The Bigfoot Adventure Challenge has been going on for 7 years. And what an amazing opportunity and encouragement for people to get out there and do like what I need to do is go into my storage shed and dust off my mountain bike and hop on that thing. I've got to air the tires up. But is that part of the goal here, is to get people out? And
absolutely. That is the goal. We live in an amazing area. Anybody that lives in Redding, between what's out at Swayze, what we have at Westside, some of the stuff at Salt Creek, Whiskey Town, just amazing trails out there. And then when it gets warmer, whatever, if you want to experience something new, Weirville's got some amazing trails up there, as does Mount Shasta. And all three of those areas are growing. There's new trails being added all the time. In fact, there's some new ones that were just finished on Salt Creek area and in my neighborhood off Canyon Hollow. Over by Country Heights, just brand new trails that are just getting opened. And Weaverville and Mount Shasta have some similar trails that are just on the edge of being opened also.
Since you mentioned that, you know, the new trails, I've wondered this from time to time. Well, what is the process of putting in a new trail? Do you got to get a permit, submit that, or what is the process?
Yeah, it depends on where it is. For instance, the ones that I mentioned at Salt Creek and Canyon Hollow, those are all within the city of Redding, and so the city of Redding is a active partner in that and either fund it or at least allow the trail to be built out there, working closely with the Redding Trail Alliance mostly, but also with another company called Trail Labs up out of Mount Shasta. So Redding is itself a big advocate of the trails. And then if you get the BLM, BLM has done wonderful work out at Swayze and is a good partner to the nonprofit Redding Trail Alliance and others to not only maintain and improve trails out there, but they're going through a process right now, the environmental process, to clear some and hopefully get some trails under construction next year. And then Whiskey Town also. And it depends on where you're at. Forest Service in Weaverville, Forest Service in Mount Shasta have been awesome at working with private and public entities to plan and build trails up there, too.
Oh, wonderful. I just think that we live in an amazing area in the trail system, and all of the people that are involved in doing that, my hat off to them and off to you for what you're doing, your involvement in this. Again, people can go to BigfootAdventureChallenge.com. This starts when?
Starts April 1st. We'll have a big party March 31st down at Fall River to kind of kick it off. So at the brewery. So if you want to come down and ask questions and pick up a passport there, that's an opportunity also. And
we'll
have a big party at the end too. So look out for that also.
I'm just wondering how many beers some of these people might have to work off the next day when they begin the challenge.
Well, you know, we have actually, there's some people that are super excited about it and will be on their bike at midnight April 1st, already starting to hit the trails.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, listen, Brian, I would love it if you and you mentioned maybe Nate from Redding Trail Alliance, if you could come back again next week. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about this. I really think it's an awesome thing that you're doing, and I want as many people to find out about it as possible. And so thank you, Brian, for being here this evening and for sharing with us about this Bigfoot Adventure Challenge. Hopefully all of those who are out there will get to see Bigfoot. We're going to take a break right now and pass it over to Elam.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough. Shasta Outdoors, if you'd like to find out more about us, you can visit our website, which is actually itdoesmysoulwell.com, and or you can find us on Facebook, or if you'd like to email us, you can email itdoesmysoulwell@gmail.com. So a few things that are happening this weekend. One of the things that is happening tomorrow morning, this sounds like a lot of fun, the Doggy Dash 2023 5K and 10K certified race. That's the seventh annual 2023 Doggy Dash. Oh, this sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'd be there. But I've got other things going on myself, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is hosted by Haven Humane Society. It's going to be at the Sundial Bridge, and it's an exciting way to support the Haven Humane Society. Again, a 5K, 10K run, and you take your dog with you. And the cool thing about it is you can dress your dog up in a costume, and there's going to be prizes for the 5K and 10K winners. And if you dress up your pup in a costume, there's a prize for the large and extra large dogs and a prize for the small and medium sized dogs. And so lots of fun. I know that my canine, Calamity Jane or Janie, would love something like that, although it wouldn't be a good time to take her. She's in heat, and I don't think that would be good for some of the male canines tomorrow. So if you like to do that, you can register for the event tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. The start time for the race is 9 a.m. The 10K run or walk for an individual is $45. The 5K is $30. And then if you're under 10 years old, it's absolutely free. So it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure I'll see some pictures of it on Facebook or Instagram or something like that. Usually a lot of pictures of that. But in the studio with me here this evening, I have Kirk Portocarrero, and he is a premier fishing and hunting guide. Now, Kirk has been on the covers of well-known magazines, including Fishing and Hunting News and Western Outdoor News, as well as featured articles in Game and Fish magazine, the Fish Sniffer magazine, Field and Stream, and lots of others. And he was even named West Coast Top Guide by Warden's Yakima Bait Company. Kirk, welcome.
Welcome, Tim. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk with you.
Thank you.
You know, I love to go out and fish. I don't do as much hunting as I used to, but I definitely grew up, you know, with a fishing pole and a gun in my hand, and always loved doing that. It was something that my father took me out and did, and it got me to the place of enjoying the great outdoors. But how long have you been guiding for fishing and hunting expeditions?
In this Shasta County, I've been doing it for 35 years.
Wow. Quite a while.
Yep, it's been a long time.
What got you into it?
Oh, I grew up doing it as a kid. I grew up in the Bay Area, actually. I worked in San Francisco in the salmon boats as a young man, and came up here in my early 20s and decided I was going to be a river guide and bought my own boat. And from there, it's kind of blossomed, and I've been doing it ever since.
Nice. So what really developed primarily your love for doing those?
Oh, Jim, I love the outdoors. You know, in Shasta County has some of the best fishing and hunting in it. We have lakes, you know, from Whiskey Town to Balm Lake and Burney, all the way to Shasta Lake. We have just great places and nooks and crannies all over that anybody 20 minutes from Redding can be fishing or hunting right from the center of town here, which is a great thing and great opportunity we have here.
Yeah, it's. I know a lot of people have come up here. I mean, when I was 13 years old, my dad chose to move to the Redding area because of the outdoor recreation opportunities, specifically fishing and hunting.
Correct.
You know, and there is just a wealth of opportunities out there that
people
don't fully realize.
Correct.
A lot of times when they're driving out, or they're driving just, you know, north towards Mount Shasta or east or west from Redding, and don't realize they're going through some prime hunting and fishing territory.
Yes.
And so give us a rundown on the types of guiding that you do.
Well, basically Shasta Lake, Whiskey Town, and the Sacramento River, fishing for trout, salmon, bass, steelhead, all the four major species we have in this area. We run river boats and drift boats here on the river, and of course the lakes with the power boats. We take daily trips out, and people come from all over the United States and around the world to Redding to visit family, to come see the Sundial Bridge, to just come and see a new area. And of course we're hopefully there to help them out in any way we can, and take them out and show them how to catch salmon, how to catch bass on the lakes, the river fishing for the trout. That's what we basically do. And like, again, it's such a great opportunity, such a great area for the opportunity for somebody to learn how to fish an area and catch lots of fish. Right here in the center of town is some of the best world-class trout fishing in the West, blue ribbon, basically. And for large trout, it's some of the best fishing around here, right in the center of town.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a little break here, Kirk. And when we come back, I really want to focus in a little bit on the Sacramento River as far as fishing, because I think a lot of people don't realize it.
Right.
I actually haven't fished the Sacramento River myself a whole lot, and so I'm anxious to learn whatever I can from
you
here tonight.
No problem.
You are listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough, and we'll be back after this break.
You're still the one that makes me strong. Still the one I want to take you on. celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for the outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, bounce houses. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we honor our veterans with free admission all day. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 1st and 2nd. Go to www.reddingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Redding, Zombie Arms and Ammunition, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough, and we're talking about all kinds of outdoor recreation on this program each week, Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR. And I've got with me Kirk Portocarrero, and he is a premier fishing and hunting guide. And Kirk, before we went to the break, we touched on the Sacramento River and fishing in the Sacramento River. And let me just tell you real quick, when my dad, who is a premier bass fisherman and fished Shasta Lake primarily, but all over Northern California, he decided that, he was going to start fishing the Sacramento River, and he bought himself a river boat, you know, a jet boat. And I went out with him, and we wound up not doing any fishing. We wound up just trying to clear where the jet intake was.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have much knowledge of the river.
Correct.
And so talk to me a little bit about fishing on the Sacramento River.
Well, the Sacramento River here from Redding down all the way to Sacramento is some of the world-class fishing. We have striped bass. We have trout fishing right here in the town of Redding. We have steelhead. And, of course, we've had a salmon fishery for years, as in this year it's going to not be as good. They're talking about doing a closure on the salmon. But in years past, we've had some years at 60-pound, 50-pound, 45-pound king salmon weren't a problem to catch out of the Anderson and the areas where it was open. Now it's at a kind of a decrease, and they might put a hold on it for a few years and see if they could get it to come back the way it used to be.
Right. So when you take people out on the Sacramento River, where do you typically go in when you're trout fishing?
Well, you could go right here out of the posse grounds right there by the Sundial Bridge is some of the best fishing around. There is a partial closure from the month of April 1st to August the 1st, which is closure due to the spawning grounds of the king salmon, so they don't want any boats on there fishing around the kings. So they've closed that area to all fishing for that period of time. But we could go from there, from Keswick Dam all the way down to the town of Sacramento. It just depends what types of fish you're chasing. Some fish are dependent on where you're able to catch them and what the laws are as far as releasing them and also keeping them. Right. So the sturgeon, you can't catch them up here, even though they do come this way. You've got to wait till you go down by the Calusa area. So
right.
There is a lot of different laws on the river that you have to abide by.
Mm-hmm. how much difference does it make as far as the water level in the Sacramento River? The releases from the dam can vary.
Thank God we have some rain this last few months, and right. It's changed things. And, of course, the lake will be full, I would say, within the next month. I was just there the other day, and it was, I think they said, 60 feet from the top at the time, and it's going up a foot a day, which is great. So we're looking at the full lake this year, and, of course, that makes things a lot better for the spawning of the fish and the boaters and everything getting into the lake with the vehicles is a lot nicer. You know, the ramps are all going to be open, which is a great thing. Yeah. Last year, the year before, it wasn't quite that easy. Most of the ramps were closed. The launch ramps were very difficult to get to. So this water situation we've got is the greatest thing that we've wanted here in this area.
Oh, yeah. It is definitely, at least on social media, it is all the buzz.
Right.
Is the level of the lake. It actually helps this local economy considerably from the houseboating to just the boating and fishing on Shasta Lake. And so you do some guiding out there for, I'm guessing, both bass and for trout.
Oh, bass, trout, and salmon. And we've got a kokanee strain out there, kokanee salmon on Shasta also, that have been doing good in the last few years and plenishing very well. And then, of course, Whiskey Town is always a full lake, and the fishing out there is always great. The kokanee fishing out there we do, and it's a great fishery. And also the bass fishing at Whiskey Town is a great fishery. So those three things are big calls to this area, and everybody comes to want to do it, and that's why they hire guys like us.
Right. Yeah, we had during the break a little bit of a conversation here. I've got my dear friend Fanny is in here, and she was talking about getting some fishing gear and going out fishing with her son and not being too successful. She's just nodding. She doesn't want to say anything on the air. This is what I'm gathering here. She's shaking her head. No. But there's a lot of people like that. Hey, let's go fishing. Yeah. I see these guys are catching fish, and so they go out and they're just not successful.
Yeah.
So if somebody goes out with you, are you able to show them how to really catch the fish?
Oh, that's what people hire me for. I mean, you know, you have people that are just here visiting friends and they want to go out just for a day in the water, and there's people that want to learn how to catch fish here, and they want to learn the different techniques of how we've been doing it, and that's what we do. That's our job, and to show success and have them go home with bags of fish or just a bunch of pitchers and releasing them and all that great stuff.
Nice. You know, I have often thought about the fact, because I have friends that are fishermen and bass fishermen in particular, and they've been successful, you know, getting out there and getting their limits of bass. And sometimes there's sometimes in the year, I mean, you can go out there and catch 40, 50 bass.
Oh yeah.
But not necessarily really large ones all the time.
Correct.
And then they think that they're doing really good. They get in local small tournaments and they do well. And then the next thing you know, they're looking for sponsors so that they can go pro.
Yeah.
And then once they do that, they find out where they really rank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Tell us a little bit about the difference between these pros who are just amazing as opposed to, you know, just us amateur guys.
Well, the pro bass fishermen are, you know, guys that are traveling all over the states, not only locally here in California, but other states, and they're learning the different techniques. And then, of course, they know every little spot because they go out and pre-fish it before they do a tournament. And those guys are actually very, very intelligent young men or older men for that part that put a lot of time and a lot of money on their fuel and their fishing stuff they have, you know, rods and reels and all the lures. And it's incredible. So, you know, the bass fishing is a big come on, and everybody wants to fish at Lake Shasta for bass. It's brought people here. As when I was a kid, that's what I came up here for originally, was the fish bass.
Right.
And that's what we love to do. It was a great fishery then, and it's an excellent fishery now.
Right. Yeah. And the spotted bass, really, over the years, and if you fished it when you were young, as I did, you didn't, I didn't remember catching spotted bass.
Correct.
Was it was large or small?
Large mouth and small mouth, correct.
Yeah. And, yeah. But, were they introduced to the lake?
Yeah, they were introduced to the lake so they could, so there's a fish that will bite all year around. That's why they brought the spotted bass in. Mm-hmm. Because a spotted bass will bite in cold water, as in a large mouth will go lethargic during the summer, during the winter months.
Wintertime, yes.
Yeah, and he'll just kind of bite maybe springtime and pre-spawn and all that good stuff. But, yeah, there's lakes around here that are actually full of largemouth, and Trinity is one of them. That's a great lake for largemouth and smallmouth. And then of Whiskeytown, it's the same way, which is a sleeper for most people. They don't know that the bass fishing is that good there, but
there's
some very, very large fish in Whiskeytown Lake.
Yeah. I lived in Burnie for 4 years, and so I'd go bass fishing out on Lake Britton.
Lake Britton's one of them. Also, it's a great smallmouth fishery.
Midsummer. Going up where the Hat Creek and Pitt River come into the lake, all that cold water, those smallmouth would just congregate there and just do really well.
Yes.
However, I will say, in the wintertime, when it was cold, because there's no spots up there, very, very tough fishing.
Very tough fishing.
I caught a couple fish in the winter,
you're right.
I had a successful day for that lake.
You're very, very true. That is the way that lake is. And then you have Balm Lake, which has got some of the largest brown trout and rainbows in the state. And that's another sleeper of a lake. That Balm Lake is incredible for big fish.
Oh, yeah. Balm Lake. I had a conversation with someone one time, and I said, yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to go fishing at Balm Lake. And he looked at me and shook his head and said, no, you don't fish Balm Lake. You catch at Balm Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's so much, lots of trout. And when I would get in the mood for maybe having trout for dinner, I would just go out there in my fishing kayak, and I would just throw a little spinner, you know, and you see them break in the water, catch a couple fish, take them home, and have a nice dinner.
Yeah, Tim, that's been a great fishery for years. As long as I've been a kid, Balm Lake was a great fishery.
Yeah, amazing place, really. And so right now, on this day, on this Friday, somebody's going to go out to go fishing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They don't care what they catch, trout, bass, crappie, you name it. What would you recommend? What kind of fishing is best for tomorrow?
I would say there's two things that are best. I would say the bass fishing on Shasta is kicking in right now. This is the time of the year when it really starts up. Usually a little warmer weather helps. You know, you get that week's worth of warm weather. It makes the fishing a lot better when you have these highs and lows where it changes from 35 degrees at night down to, or, you know, up to 55 and then goes back down to 35. It makes things a little tougher. So the barometer change always makes it tough on fishing, no matter where you fish at. But bass fishing is typically the beginning of the spring, March and April is your best on Shasta. And then you have your kokanee fishing, which usually kicks in around the first week of March also. And last year, our kokanee fishing was supreme March the 10th. So we're right there. It's any day now it's going to happen.
Right. That's awesome. And that was actually, you touched on my next question here on my list, which had to do with weather patterns.
Right.
You know, and I've never been able to fully figure it out. I always thought, oh, if a storm's coming in, that's a good time to go bass fishing, because that one time I did well. Or right after the storm leaves. And maybe during the storm, what's the trick?
I'd rather have a rainy day where it's warm than a cold day and the water temperature is very cold.
Right.
That makes it really tough on every fishing.
Right.
You know, it's funny because I just had some clients up a week ago and they were from Lake Almanor, and they say Lake Almanor is the best during this time of the year.
Oh, is that right?
February, January, February, March is when they catch the largest fish on Lake Almanor.
Mm-hmm.
Big browns. And as in our lakes, they don't really kick in till summertime, spring, you know, May, June, July, or is there some of our best fishing on these lakes here? But that lake is different, and every area is different wherever you go.
Yeah, it's, and that's one of the beauties of where we live, because we do have the different types of water. You know, you mentioned Whiskeytown being basically full all year round, you know. Shasta Lake, it does fluctuate, but if you fished it long enough, you pretty much know where to go.
Oh, yeah.
Based on the lake level.
Correct.
And so you start to learn that. Some guys, I think, even keep a journal of that, you know. The water's 80 feet down this point right here. Caught, you know, so many fish on this day, temperature, et cetera, et cetera. So they get into it quite a bit. I never never really did do that. I thought I could remember, though I haven't remembered. So anyway, well, listen, we're going to take a break here, Kirk. I want to talk to you a little bit about hunting.
Okay.
Because you're also a hunting guide.
Of course.
And I think it would be interesting for our audience just to learn a little bit more about that. We've got turkey season that's happening right away. I want to talk about that. You are listening to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough. We're with Kirk Portocarrero tonight, and we will be back after this message.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Looking for a restaurant that offers quality and value? Look no further than Dry Creek Station on Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. Family owned and operated, Dry Creek Station has been serving up delicious steaks, seafood, chicken, soups, and salads since 1992. Don't miss their house-made clam chowder and live music Friday and Saturday night. And be sure to ask about their fantastic weekend specials. And the menu doesn't stop there. Come check out Dry Creek Station's new lunch menu, including their fabulous burger menu. Also, grilled chicken breast, beef ribs, fish and chips, a salmon filet, and their popular lunch special, taco salad with your choice of steak, chicken, or prawns. They also offer kids' meals. Join us at the Dry Creek Station for lunch from noon to 4 or dinner from 5 to 9. Open Tuesday through Sunday with happy hour from 3 to 5. Come on down to the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East of Bella Vista, where quality and value meet. The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough. We're talking tonight with Kirk Portocarrero and learning some interesting things about fishing, and we're going to talk about hunting. But I wonder what the weather is like this weekend for outdoor stuff. Liam, what can you tell us?
So the sunny spell is going to be leaving us on Sunday, but for Saturday we're going to have a high of 66, slightly cloudy, and then comes back the rain. Sunday we're looking at a high of 54, 100% chance of showers, and those showers are going to start Saturday night, and it's going to continue through, it looks like, Friday.
Wow.
So.
Well, hey, we're grateful for the rain and everything that it's bringing us. But the good news, not raining tomorrow, though,
that's
right?
That's true. We have no rain tomorrow.
And so, hey, Liam, if you're not doing anything, I'm doing a group hike tomorrow.
What time? Because I'm going to be at the Doggy Dash tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay.
And then mountain biking tomorrow.
You have a dog? You have a canine?
My girlfriend does.
Oh, okay. Is she going to dress the pooch up?
She's going to dress the pooch up, yeah.
Yeah. Is it a large or small? Or what kind
like
of dog
a medium,
is it?
Like a medium. I don't know what kind of dog. Like a medium dog.
You'll have to get a picture.
I will.
And send it to me. I'll get your contact information. Yes. I want to see that. Well, I'm actually doing a group hike, and that is for the Waters Gulch Loop Trail. That is out towards Packers Bay. So you take Packers Bay Road, and before you get to Packers Bay, on the right-hand side, there is a little parking lot, mm-hmm. and that's the Waters Gulch Trailhead. And that hike starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. Looks like we've got about 20 people that are going to come Great. With us. I was out there a couple days ago just to check the trail out. The trail is in pristine condition.
Great.
No snow on the trail or anything like that. And so it's going to be a good time. I'll send you, Liam, a picture of our hike. How's
I'll
that
send
go?
You a picture of the dog.
All right. Sounds like a deal. All right. We are here with Kirk. Kirk, thank you so much for being here this evening. This has been really interesting. I feel like we could go another whole hour and just glean from your years of experience. And we've talked quite a bit about fishing, but you also are a hunting guide.
Correct.
And tomorrow for the youth starts turkey.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Opening day of turkey season for the youth. Anybody that's under 18 years old is able to hunt a week earlier before the season, before the adult season, which was the following weekend. And we take hunters out and show some kids how and the opportunity to get a turkey, hopefully.
Nice.
It should be a lot of fun. I'm glad it's a little warmer today or tomorrow, and Sunday is going to be a little cooler.
Yes. Now, when I think of turkey hunters, I always think of them in full camouflage, their face blacked out.
That's
I
mean, it.
Is that
that's what
deal?
We do? Yeah, that's what yeah. we do. We dress up and look like we're ready to go to combat.
Right. That's awesome. And you know, I've never done any turkey hunting. I have some friends that do it. They're really into it. So talk to me a little bit about turkey hunting. What all does that entail?
Well, first of all, this county has got one of the largest turkey populations in the state. Shasta County is just littered with wild turkeys. And, of course, they've gotten larger and larger throughout the years of the amounts. So, you know, again, it brings people up to our area. We've got a lot of Forest Service. We have BLM. We have private land to hunt on. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for people to come out and get a turkey. And, you know, the whole state is you're able to do this the whole state. So I'm not quite sure about the Southern California. I think they're a little bit divided down there on when they open up. I think it might be a week or so later. But as far as our area up here, is we have great hunting, and we take the kids out and show them how to sit down and be patient and hopefully get one to gobble in and come in.
Yeah. And that is, first of all, I don't know if this is true or not, but as I've grown up in this area, I didn't see the amount of turkeys
Correct.
That I
yes.
see now.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I really see them out there.
There's a lot of them. And again, I'll just let you know, it is a tom season only, the spring season, so you can only shoot a male with a visible beard on it. It's got to be a visible beard that comes off their chest, so it can only be a male turkey at this time of the year. And then during the fall, you're able to shoot hens or toms.
Okay.
So that is what is going on tomorrow, and that's kind of a big thing for our area, the turkey hunting.
So do you do the calling?
Oh, yeah. We call them in, and hopefully they come into a range where somebody could go ahead and have a great shot at them and but go up and have a big stuffed turkey or however they want to do it.
Right. So when you're calling them, what is the turkey hearing? Is it a challenge from another one?
It's usually either a challenge from another one or a female wanting to visit, or they want to breed maybe and see what is going on. So they're interested in coming over to check you out.
So a conjugal visit then?
Correct.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay. but you do other kinds of hunting. What other types of hunting?
Well, we do a little wild boar hunting and a little bit of waterfowl hunting and upland bird hunting also. Mm-hmm. Everything that's pretty much around our area we kind of do, except for the elk hunting and the bear hunting. We don't do any of that.
Right. Right. And so my favorite hunting over the years has been quail hunting.
Oh, yeah.
My dad had, you know, a few hundred acres up in the Shingletown area.
Right.
That was just loaded with quail.
Yes.
And it was just so fun. And then part of it is I enjoy eating quail.
Yes. Oh, quite they a bit. Are very good.
Yeah. And yep. So it was always fun to go out there and hunt them and take some home and cook them up, you know.
Got it. You got
and
it.
Then, now, one of the things that I learned about you from your website, which is SackRiverGuide.com.
Correct.
Is the fact that you've actually hunted and fished all over the world, really. Yeah. Where are some of the places you've been?
Oh, I was fortunate to go in my mid-30s and early 40s to Africa and different parts of the countries, you know,
wow.
New Zealand, and a great opportunity for me as a young man to travel, and Europe was another favorite place to go. So, yeah, I am very fortunate.
Yeah. So, now I've heard about New Zealand. I know of people that have gone there, and it's a great place
to go hunting. Yeah. Yeah.
And then what about in Europe? What are you hunting for there?
Oh, mostly red stags and wild boar and Hungarian partridge and pheasants. And all the stuff, the same stuff we have here. And
right.
They have a lot of great hunting over there in Europe.
Awesome. And then I see that you've been to Alaska, both hunting and fishing?
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Alaska, British Columbia. Yeah.
Sure.
Great places. And we do actually guide in Oregon.
Okay.
So we do fishing trips in Oregon for king salmon. And this year we'll be spending 5 months there doing king salmon on the Rogue River. That's going to be our go-to this year due to the salmon fishery in California, coming to, maybe a closure.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are doing that.
Let me just ask you real quick. When I was in Alaska and it was salmon fishing and we were fishing in the Inland Passage and we were mainly at that time of year, we were catching silvers.
Correct.
Any other kind of fish? I mainly hear, as far as salmon, mainly hear the king salmon.
Correct. Yeah. King salmon in Alaska is also gone to a little bit of it's pretty tough over there anymore. There's a lot of rivers that are closed to king salmon, but silvers, which is a coho, they're a pretty, you know, filetual there. There's quite a few of them, and that's what most of the guys go over there for, and then halibut in Alaska. But in Oregon, we have a great fishery. The kings come up the Rogue River out of Gold Beach area, and that's where we're targeting this season. And we've been targeting the last few years, so it's a pretty good fishery.
Awesome. Awesome. And so if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I have a goldbeachsalmonfishing.com, and then I also have our sackriverguide.com here in town. And then, of course, they could find me on Instagram and Facebook at Kirk Portocarrero. I'm on that every day, just about doing reports.
Wonderful. And typically, you talked about the fact that here in the Redding area, there are people from all over.
Right.
All over the nation, maybe even other countries that come here.
Yes.
And I'm assuming they find out about you on your website somehow.
Right.
And so what's that like when somebody comes here from another area?
It's great. We have all different types of people that come here, and that's the beauty of what I do for a living. It's knowing other people, meeting other people, and becoming friends with people that I've met throughout the years from different areas in the United States and in foreign countries.
Right. So let me ask you this. You know, you do all of these wonderful things that I also enjoy very much, but not to the extent that you do them. What else do you like to do in your spare time?
Fish and hunt. And hike. Pretty much.
Just absolutely addicted to it, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Kind of love it.
Yeah, for me, it's just getting out in the outdoors. But I like that part. But if I'm hunting, I want to get what I'm hunting for. If I'm fishing, I want to catch what I'm fishing for.
Well, that is a goal.
Yeah, it's part of the success of that day.
Yes,
but I still feel like I don't lose if I can at least get out there in the great outdoors.
Of course.
And just enjoy being out there. I think one of the things that I like about this youth turkey hunt, it encourages young people to do that.
Correct.
When I was growing up, it was just what we did. Now, young people growing up, their outlet is maybe the video game or their, you know, cell phone, computers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
And, one of my favorite places to be is when I am out of cell phone range.
Yep. I agree with you.
And I can't reach anybody. No one could reach me.
They can reach you because you're on a cell phone range.
I'm on a cell phone range.
I know what it's like. I'm the same way. I just turn that phone off and smell that fresh air.
Yes. Yes, there's nothing like it. Well, Kirk, thank you so much for being on the program this evening.
Thank you, Jim.
Been
looking forward
to
being here again.
Real pleasure. And yes, absolutely, we're going to have you here again and like to talk with you even more about some of the hunting and some of the fishing that you do.
You
and,
got it.
And we'll take a look at different times of the year because
great.
Certain things are coming on and,
of course.
And coming off and all of that. And
great.
So, again, thank you. We appreciate it. And Fanny, do you have anything to say? You can at least say hello before we go.
Well, hello.
Oh, thank you so much. See, I finally got her on the air. She's never even been in a radio studio before.
She's doing great.
So she is doing awesome. She's got her camera up. Maybe she's doing some video. We could sell that somewhere. Well, you have been listening to Shasta Outdoors. I am Tim Scarborough. If you'd like to get a hold of us, Shasta Outdoors is part of It Does My Soul Well. You can go to itdoesmysoulwell.com, and you can also email us at itdoesmysoulwell@gmail.com. My encouragement to you is get out there in the great outdoors, enjoy God's great creation. I promise you, you'll look around and you'll say, it does my soul well.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.